Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world. What it used to be.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah. Wake up, everybody. Tell me now, wonder what you're telling me now. Stop fire!
creed of color. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody. Well, see, we need, wake up, everybody. We
come
need,
on, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. Wake up, all your teachers, start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children,
teach the baby,
teach the baby.
Teach the children,
teach the children,
teach the baby,
teach the children.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory on this awesome, wonderful evening of August the 23rd, 2021, a day we've never seen before. We'll never see this day again, but in this wonderful day of Thanksgiving, we glorify our most heavenly Father. We thank him once again for another day. We thank him for the grace and mercy that he placed upon each and every one of us. I want to always thank you for making your way to the Blog Talk Radio Show each and every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to also just thank my awesome and wonderful husband for always taking time out to prepare and allow us an opportunity to continue to study, to show ourselves approved, to learn, to grow, to be better individuals. And tonight, as we speak about think and enjoy the fruit of oneness, it's an awesome topic. It will be some wonderful nuggets for you to pick up tonight. Just hope and pray that you're in a position that you can. And we know that God has allowed you an opportunity to free up your schedule to be here with us. And as always, we want to ask God to continue to be in the midst of everything we say, do, and touch. He's a gentleman. We have to invite him in. I want to thank you for being part of the number where two or more are gathered together. We call upon his mighty name. We know he will be in the midst. So I want to say to those of you that made your way here early to be able to stand in agreement with our opening prayer, ushering in the Holy Spirit, I want to personally say thank you. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, as always, I just want to thank you for these awesome and powerful men and women who have come to the Blog Talk Radio Show tonight with an open heart, an open ear, open eyes to be able to be better individuals. Lord God, let us study to show yourself approve with your word, Lord God. Let us be able to dissect in this word and be able, Lord God, to apply it to our daily lives so that we can become better individuals, especially in our marriages, Lord God. When our marriages are going well, the family unit is together, it's going well, and it just seems like everything around us has a tendency to just flow. And I just pray tonight, Lord God, that you would touch every marriage under the sound of my voice. And for those that may not be here yet, Lord God, and throughout the entire world, every marriage that you strategically put together, I pray that you touch each and every one of us, Lord God. Give us the ability to understand and know what it means to be that powerful spouse that we need to be one to another. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would give us a better understanding when we speak about think and enjoy the fruit of oneness. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that as we go through this word, that you give us, Father God, everything we need. Equip us with the understanding we need. Give us the ability, Lord God, to be able to go and know how to use it and be the best spouse on this side of heaven that we can be. And then we know, Lord God, there's others that have come and they desire to be married. They may be even engaged. And I just pray for them tonight, Lord God, that you watch over and keep them and allow them to hold on to your unchanging hand until that appropriate time comes that they're able to walk down that aisle and say, I do. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you will continue to order the steps of each and every one of us, our children. And I thank you even for our children's children. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that we will be able to understand your word better and better by and by. I pray, Father, for all of those that we know are battling in the world today. We pray for Haiti. We pray right now, Lord God, that you meet them at their time of need right now. Give them an opportunity to have the necessary water and food, that they have the necessary medical care. I pray right now, Lord God, that you give this this country and on this island opportunity to be able, Lord God, to come together and bring their resources together along with the world and be able to help them overcome the challenges they've been a part of. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would also go and be with those in Afghanistan. You know all that's going on there. We ask that you bring peace that surpasses all understanding upon each and every one of them. I pray today, Lord God, that you would also go and meet those in California in their time of need with these wildfires. I pray that you continue to keep them under control and you would give those individuals an opportunity that have lost their homes to be able to rebuild wherever they desire. Just give them the ability to hold on, Lord God, and know that you are with them. You said you'll never leave them nor forsake them. As always, Lord God, I want to just say thank you for allowing all of those that were able to get through and around all of the hurricanes that were coming through so many different states and all across the United States, Lord God. I pray that you be with every individual that was directly impacted, those that may have flooding, those that may have buildings that have tumbled down or whatever the case may be. I just pray, Lord God, that you give them the ability to realize, to know and understand that they are an overcomer, that they will overcome this as well. Trouble don't last always. This too will pass. So thank you tonight, Lord God, for the privilege to pray. Thank you once again for giving me this opportunity to understand what it means to ask you, Holy Spirit, to be here with us so we can't do anything without you. Holy Spirit, lead, guide, and direct our mouthpiece. Give us the ability to understand and know what it is that we're supposed to say. Any of our listening audience that will press 1 on their pad, on their keypad, that they will be in queue to be able to speak tonight, Lord God. And I just pray that you touch the hearts of individuals, that they have a word in season to share, to be able to bless another brother or sister tonight based on their testimony through their transparency. We thank you as always for this day and every day. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Well, let the church say amen. Praise God and thank God this evening. Thank you, my queen. May God continue to bless you richly in all things. We praise God and thank God to be here this evening. Been a very quick year. 2020 came in, and we all know what went down in 2020 and what's still going down. And interestingly enough, that on this day today, they say that we now have an approved vaccine for COVID-19. So we know many things and many changes will take place after that announcement today by the FDA that it has now become an approved vaccine, no longer emergency use, at least for the Pfizer company. So we thank God and praise God that they're making advancement on that front. We know now, without a doubt, unequivocally, we will begin to see companies follow the lead of the federal government, armed services, and others who will now use today's announcement to put it in the same category as pretty much all other approved vaccinations in America, where now you will be directed, I'm sure, to take advantage of this situation. So we praise God and thank God for that reality and that fact. Some have been waiting and deciding, and others will continue to do so. The good thing is most people that I know that had been somewhat hesitant, they hesitated because they were in the process of thinking about the pros and the cons of the particular inoculations that were being provided by those suppliers. And so now, hopefully, they will continue to think and make a decision that's best for them and their families, and then also for those that may be around them wherever they may go and whatever they may do. It's really analogous to our subject matter tonight. Think and enjoy the fruit of oneness. Sometimes I must admit I find it somewhat difficult to understand why any of us, quite honestly, would see a problem or not understand all of the benefits that are associated with oneness. And sometimes to me and to my queen, they're so obvious that it becomes sometimes frustrating when we can't seem to get anyone else to see the value of that. And see, being in oneness does not mean you will never, ever have what appears to be a disagreement. No, it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that when you may have a disagreement, you know everything you need to do to deal with that disagreement, because you understand, because you have taken time to think. The Bible clearly tells us there is a value in thinking, that if you don't look at thinking as a value, then you may miss it, because it is so critical that you have to be very careful even on those things that you think, and especially those things that you think in your heart. In the book of Proverbs, it reminds us in the 23rd chapter, in the 7th verse, as a man thinketh in his heart, or as a woman thinketh in her heart, so is he, so is her. See, because it's something about when you think. When you think, you can move into a deep realm of creative capability and capacity, limited only by your ability to think. Now, when we combine thinking with what God said about imagination, God said that the imagination of man's heart is on evil continuously, and that whatever man can imagine, nothing can be constrained from him. Now, when we speak of man or woman, it's generic. But think about that for a moment. God said that the imagination of your heart may be on evil. Yet he gave us also an antidote for that when he told Joshua, look, to meditate on this book, meaning his word, both day and night, and observe to do everything written therein, and you will have great prosperity and success. As a matter of fact, that's the only verse in the Bible that would say, if you do this, you will have success and prosperity. Now think about it for a moment. We live in a day and time when people become more successful, or perhaps maybe more accepted, when they have developed the ability to turn a lie into truth, when they have developed the ability to take an ideal or take a principle or take whatever and grow it into something that you never would have thought was possible. Yet that's the power and that's the creativity that God makes available to each and every one of us. And that's why we have to be a thinker to achieve some of the things that people achieve each and every day. As a matter of fact, just today, in a small circle of people that we know, there were those that had a birthday, and there were those also that were blessed to celebrate anniversaries. Matter of fact, a good brother, a childhood brother of mine, a brother that I grew up with way back in the day, had the opportunity today to celebrate almost on the verge of 40 years of being married. And see, nothing you can tell me, nothing you could convince me of that would not make me think, feel, or believe that they have learned how to think and enjoy the fruit of oneness. See, there's a fruit associated with oneness when we just do something as simple as think. God already gave us the boundaries. He already gave us the foundation. He already said that whatever we can imagine, nothing can be constrained from us. Nothing can be denied. And then Jesus added a piece on that when he said, all things are possible if you what? Believe. See, sometimes it's really not complicated. It's really simple. Yet we live in a world today where we have been sold and programmed and convinced that for whatever reason, we need to just operate life on autopilot. That we don't need to take time to step away and pray or step away and meditate or step away and do any of those things that God would ordain us to do. And so tonight, we want to encourage all of us to know and to understand we must think. Because as you think, as you meditate, as you mutter, as you confess, as you affirm, you are creating reality for you. And if you're married, for your spouse, and if you have a family, for your family and your children. We must think. What is it about this world today that may cause us to be caught up in a way to where we simply do not think? Because, see, thinking requires energy. Thinking requires an investment. And so what do we see going on today? Most of today, the things that we hear about and the things that we see about is when most of us are in the pursuit of the, what do you say, in the pursuit of living, in the pursuit of making money, in the pursuit of having the ability to take care of our families, to take care of our needs. And so it is something that I just sometimes just get frustrated about, is that why in the world do we have such a hard time in thinking about the benefits of what we gain, what we obtain, what we realize, what we experience when we only follow and accept the dictates of the Creator God? God said, don't get mad with us. God said, look, at the end of the day, it's not good that you hang out by yourself. You need to have a mate. You need to hang out with someone that can cause the very best of you to be exposed to this world. And see, he also reminded us, if you remember, that there would be enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, meaning that there was always going to be conflict. And then our challenge became, what are we going to do? How are we going to think? How are we going to use our minds to be able to create a pathway to victory, a pathway to living and experiencing all of the blessings that God said was associated with oneness? See, he said, if you leave your mama and your father and you go and then you cling on, you cleave to, you have this new experience, and then you come into what he called oneness. He said that in Genesis 2:24. You come into this oneness reality. But see what takes place. We know that there are so many other philosophies and so many other strategies and so many other schemas that say, hey, let's steal, kill, and destroy God's best. And let's inject into the consciousness of man and woman, since we're going to have them working so much to get back to that peace, so much just to take care of their needs, that they will not even be committed. They'll be just looking for every now and then a simple satisfaction in the lust of the flesh. And so during the course of time, when we look back at our experience in this world, we see how many times our ancestors, our in-laws, our ex-laws, and people that we know and people that we don't know, they were influenced by a system that was designed to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God ordained from the beginning. And because of that, we find ourselves locked up in a world that's so mixed up that when we continue to meditate and think sometime about what the world has to offer, then we miss God. We miss all of the things that God wanted us to experience. You know, the main point that really, I guess if there's a main point that we want to really illustrate tonight or emphasize, what is your return on your thinking? We believe there is no greater return individually that's possible than the return spouses receive in regards to the cross-functional, multifaceted, compounded return you can expect with the blessings associated with marriage. Now, before we can get through, we're going to share a few examples of why we believe, why we think and feel that there is no greater return for the individual. See, sometimes when we hear the word, what is the return on investment? We think in terms of business. We think in terms of how much interest or how much did I get back for my money invested or my money spent here or spent there? What was I able to buy? What was I able to extract from that transaction? And although in the flesh, there are many examples, plenty of examples of us, what we see each and every day, of men and women who are highly successful, who seem to have all of the things that we hope for in life, who seem to have achieved all of those things that we thought, felt, and believed at some point in our lives would be those things that will cause us to be happy. Yet at the end of the day, we see also each and every day the number of men and women who end up in divorce, who end up never experiencing all that they had imagined in their mind. And so the question quite naturally becomes, what happened? Why was it that if God said, be fruitful and multiply, if God said, go out into the world and reproduce yourself, if God said that it's a blessing for you to have offsprings, if God said that we saw even in the life and the work that Sarah herself was doing in an effort to be a mother, what happened to cause us to fail to see the genius and the greatest level of return on investment, so that all of a sudden, instead of us looking at a return on investment being what level of father can I be? What level of mother can I be? What level of husband can I be? A grandfather, a great-grandfather. Instead, sometimes we got sidetracked and we began to think that our measurement should be something else. And once we got sidetracked and started thinking that our measurement should be something else, we lost sight. All of a sudden, we no longer was looking to become the good, that acceptable and perfect will of God. All of a sudden, we were following the dictates of this small g God of this world who continues to blind the minds of those that believe not. And so all of a sudden, we found ourselves entertaining thoughts not consistent with God's reality, not consistent with his plan. And then we found ourselves in bitterness, found ourselves being angry with wrath and malice and doubt, fear, unbelief, all of those things that we had been careful about all of our lives. And the reason I speak that way is because all around us, we see the evidence across this world, around this country, of those people that are not thinking. They're not taking time to think about what is it and why did God create me and create us in the first place. Truly, he couldn't have created us in the way that he created us with the gifts, skills, and abilities that he made available to us in order for us just to live life willy-nilly just to do whatever we want to do without any express purpose. He had already told us back in Jeremiah, in the 29th chapter, he already told us he had plans for us. He had already told us way back in the beginning of the book that, hey, we could have success and prosperity. But what he wanted us to understand, that success and prosperity also comes from us being able to provide love and service to another human being. Could we ourselves be capable of loving the way that God loved us? And so we want to just go and look at a couple of things to let you think about whether or not you yourself made that all-out commitment, that all-out commitment to be the best spouse you could be if you're married. And if you're not married, then when you would say, hey, when I become married, this is how I want to think. This is what I want to do. That I don't want to find myself missing it because I've listened too much to this world and been led too much by this small g God of this world. And think about it for a moment when you can enjoy the fruit of oneness. You just thought about it. When you got married and when you plan to get married, what is the value if you both have a spiritual connection? See, there is a spiritual power in oneness as you share similar value systems and respect for the Creator. See, when you are able to say you believe in the Creator, you believe in God, you believe that there is an element of righteousness just as much as an element of wickedness in this world. When you have the ability to have, for lack of a better term, a third party that you can use as a governor, as a mediator, as an executor of righteousness and unrighteousness that you are willing to submit to, then each and every one, all of us, we have an opportunity then to say, I will be governed by the principles and the precepts of the Creator. And when we are willing to do so, we then understand and find out that the very first thing we must do is understand that we always live in a realm of bilateral forgiveness, bilateral love, that we can't have a situation to where one spouse or the other believes the other spouse has got to go the extra mile. No, both spouses have to go the extra mile, because you walk in power when you understand that if you just have similar value systems, that over the course of time, God will mend and blend and bring those hearts together. And most of the time, you will find and discover that whatever those theoretical, illusionary differences may be, they disappear. They go away. They no longer become prevalent, because now you're walking in a new level. You're walking a new way. You're in a whole different area code. See, mental development also is very powerful, because mentally, each spouse can grow to levels beyond what one may achieve alone. Think about it. Having the ability, having the willingness and the transparency to be vulnerable and be willing to share and ask questions about any and everything that the mind may even be able to generate. See, something happens when we are willing to ask questions of each other, when we are willing sometimes to even tell each other certain things that may need to be accomplished, may need to be done. It's amazing, but we must be willing to take a risk in developing our mind, in growing beyond what we may achieve alone. The decisions we make and the relationships that we had is what led us to be together in the first place. And once we then come together, we must make it our business to make sure we are going to expand the base of knowledge and the base of understanding of each one of us in our marriages. Now, we know from a physical perspective that alone opens the door to success and prosperity in all aspects of life. Most of the time, I know for men, we sometimes miss it. We have to admit it, because sometimes we can't see beyond what we can see. But when we find that right one, that lady, and I'm going to use men as an example, she will cause us to go to a different level, a deeper level. Because in just the aspect of physicality itself, if handled appropriately and properly, it just opens the door to so many things that we just fail to even understand in this current dispensation. In this current dispensation, physicality has become an objectified event to where women, unfortunately, will sometimes allow themselves to be used in a way that's just not appropriate. That's not a judgment statement, but that's a statement being made by a son, a husband, a father, a grandson. That's a statement being made by a wife, a mother, a grandmother, because we see and know and understand that at the end of the day, physicality and the use thereof can be a very powerful, powerful enabler to good things. And yet at the same time, it can be one of the most powerful destruction techniques, strategies, and realities that you can ever imagine. And we live in a time and space more than ever to where women sometimes and men have lost the value of having something in the flesh, in the physical, simply called modesty. Let me tell you, modesty, whether some of you may want to believe it or not, is very sexy. It's very much attractive. It is a turn on. It is something that men do appreciate, and I know women appreciate as well. We can't go out and deal with the world the same way we may deal with each other. We have to learn that if we go out and deal with the world, there's got to be a separate reality. That's why we got to think. We can't just go along with the crowd. We can't just go along and do what everybody do. We have to learn how to walk alone when necessary. We got to do that. And see, think about all of the social realities that take place today. We live in a world today where just this week, you hear all of this conversation about how the percent majority for whites in this country continues to go down, although slow, but it continues to go down. And where the projections are that, who knows, sometimes around 2040 or 2050, that for the first time, they're projecting that the cumulative and total white population may be less than 50%. And see, that's really an enigma in the sense that why is there such an over-concern? Because if we wanted to see the model of what America is supposed to be about, that should be something that we look at with great anticipation, with great happiness, because we would be able then to show and to prove what we say in the Declaration of Independence, what we say in the Constitution. We will be able then to have validation. We will be able to have confirmation and manifestation of what we have said and what we have read as it relates to that. But see, the problem is when we start thinking and we start seeing, we can see that some people may think in an inappropriate manner. They begin to think in manners that then would harbor bigotry, and racism and sexism and all other kind of isms. And see, in our marriages, sometimes we do the same thing. We allow sometimes the things that happened to us in the past have an impact on us in the present. And so it makes it difficult for us to have honor and respect, both as a need or a desire to have consistent social interaction. See, in our marriages, one of us may be an extrovert, extremely outgoing, and one may be an introvert and rather reserved. But see, even there, it doesn't matter. It's because when you come together in oneness and you're willing to share and to talk and to speak, the one may help the other grow out of being reserved, and reserved may be able to show the other how there is a time and place when you need to put a little cap on what you're doing and how you're conducting yourself. See, when we think, we can really enjoy the fruit of oneness, but we are able to expand ourselves based on the life experience of our spouse, based on the life experience of what they went through prior to even coming and getting to know who you are. And then, of course, emotionally, the stability that each spouse can gain from the experience of the other is just not measurable. You can't put any kind of a measurement on it, because what happens oftentimes is when you are able to leverage the emotional reality or the emotional experience of your spouse, you are able to see life from a totally different perspective. I know sometimes some of us are born in the South and some are born in the North. Some are right-handed, some are left-handed. Some may have been Republicans, some may have been Democrats. Some may have been East Coast or West Coast. It doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, if they begin to think, they can see how they can roll those experiences and they can roll those theoretical differences together and have something even more powerful. See, one of the things that success and oneness will require of both spouses is the willingness to be open and the willingness to be acceptable in terms of listening to the experience and the emotional reality of the spouse. And when we're willing to do so, it seems as though we gain exponentially. It goes much further than it would have ever been by our own life experiences. And then, of course, we know in this particular dispensation, we always got to deal with the finance. You see, from a financial perspective, it's easily proven that two people can enjoy food, lodging, and entertainment on a less cost per person than when living alone and sharing the same life experiences. What I mean by that, if you took two people and they went and they did the exact same thing that one other person did, and then you came back and you took everything that the two people spent, all the money, whatever, divided it by two to get to a cost per person, and then you compared that to what that single individual, you know, paid to do some of those same things, most of the time you will see that the cost per person will be less within that couple, within that foundation of oneness. There are so many benefits associated with oneness, so many benefits associated with marriage, that again, it's mind-boggling to understand why we don't just think and enjoy the fruit of oneness. We've been sold really a level of mistrust and distrust. So many things that happened to us during the course of our lives and so many things that we heard from others cause us sometimes just not to believe that it's possible. But we're here to tell you tonight it is possible. Just think a little bit. Use common sense. You don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa. You don't have to be a Mensa. You just use common sense and begin to see that in order for me to enjoy the fruit of oneness, I've got to be willing to give up something. I've got to be willing to make a sacrifice. And if I'm willing to make the sacrifice, then I know I can enjoy the fruit of oneness. And some may say, what are the benefits? Oh, the benefits are many. The benefits are many. First of all, how about less stress? Would you like your life to be less stressful? Would you like your life to be a situation where wherever you may go, whatever you may do, you know and understand, and people know and understand that you're not going to be stressed out, that you're just going to live a life stress-free because you made a determination you're going to find and be with that person that allows you to laugh a little bit. How many of you laugh? How many of you laugh? I thank God and praise God that through the course of the last several weeks, you know, we've had a chance, my queen and I, to just laugh sometimes. And it's so funny that we may be doing whatever, just talking or just involved in something and just start laughing. And it's a beautiful thing that when you could just laugh and be silly and have fun. I know life is, for the most time, is a very serious reality. But at the same time, there's nothing more stress-reducing than a good old laugh. Nothing. If you know something, then let me know, and we will definitely listen to you. But I'm going to pause it for a moment, ask my queen to come and share whatever God has placed on her heart and on her spirit. We had a long day today, long weekend, but I'm sure God has given her some nuggets that she can share at this time. Your mic is open, my queen.
Amen, Jesse. To God be the glory for this awesome message on this evening. Always great to hear what thus says the Lord through you. And I am grateful that tonight, as we think about just even the topic, think and enjoy the fruit of oneness. And when you think about it, you have to put some action with it in order to enjoy it. And when you went over so many of the examples, and, you know, we want to really put a plan together that ask ourselves, what can we do to truly help make a difference in our marriage as a spouse? What can we do when we start really thinking about life in general? Well, one of the things, when you were even reading through some of your examples, and even reading through those examples, as I thought about those examples, I thought, wow, if we apply even the fruit of the Spirit with the fruit of oneness and roll it all together, it is just amazing, the outcome that we would have. It would be nothing but great. And when we think about joy and we think about love, we think about peace, Jesse, I mean, if you're operating in that form of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, trust me, when you look at this spiritual thing, it allows us to just want to get to know each other a little bit better. It wants us to come together to get to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ just a little bit better so that we can apply his teachings into our lives, into our marriage, to make us better individuals. And when I think about, as you were going down that line, and when I thought about the fruit of the Spirit, and when you were speaking even on the emotional side, you know, when we think about that so many times, Jesse, it's an area that we have to be sensitive enough as a spouse, because we all go through different things at different times, and one might be just a little bit more emotional than the other. And the women, let's not get it twisted, normally we are, but we got to understand and know that it is our responsibility on that emotional side on what to do. You know, we got to understand and know that it's up to us as an individual to pull it all together, you know, because not only is marriage the physical that you are you spoke about earlier, the emotional, the spiritual, all of those, the financial. That emotional is one that really comes into play, especially after God has blessed us with many years of holy matrimony. You know, you get older, your body changes, you get older, you know, other things change, and you go through various challenges that you must overcome. And menopause is one, and you hear me speak about it a lot because it takes a strong man and woman for that point in time of the marriage to get over it. I mean, you can't do it without your spouse, ladies. I will tell you that there are days when if it wasn't for Jesse, I don't know what I'd do. And so I'm just going to encourage you when you're going through the emotional stage of your marriage and when you're really thinking about it and you really want to enjoy your marriage and you don't want to be uptight and you're not sure what's going on, that's when it's time to do that wonderful thing we talk about so often in marriage, and it's called communication. You've got to be able to share with your spouse what you're going through because they're not a mind reader. They don't know. And as much as they want to support you, how can they support something they're not aware of or they don't know what you're going through? Be as plain as you can be in any situation, even in the physical. When Jesse even spoke about this, we want to make sure even in the physical that we keep our bodies, number one, in shape so that we can do a lot of the things that we know we may want to do as a couple, as spouses. And so we want to make sure we keep that up for sure. But when we talk about the intimacy, when we talk about, you know, being, you know, behind that closed door, and when your bedroom becomes defiled, and when you become intimate with your spouse, you know, that's between the two of you. And the most important thing there, you have to communicate and make sure that if you want to enjoy the fruit of oneness, you definitely have to communicate how you go about making sure you are satisfying one another. And the way you do it is simply by communicating, talking about it, and do what you have to do. And last but not least, Jesse, as I think about the financial side of anything we do in life, it doesn't matter what it is. We all have to be in control. We've got to do things decently and in order. We can't want to do things decently in order and then go out and spend, you know, hundreds of dollars a week just on things that you don't need and you know you're in a financial bind already. Because the more you put on credit cards, how many of us know? We know it. They're not going away. Actually, as a matter of fact, it's going to put more stress on your finances than not because of all of the extra fees with a credit card. If you can't buy it with cash, do yourself a favor and say you don't need it, because 9 times out of 10, we don't need those things that we go and we spend and don't think about it. Keep whatever you can so that you can enjoy your finances together. And when you think in advance and you think about how you want to do your finances, I just hope and pray that you come together, and when you thought about that, you would enjoy that part of your life better. If you at that point in time decide, let's do and make sure that we have joint checking accounts, joint savings accounts, so that we're not hiding anything, and so that when we both know what's in the account and we can do some things to once again bring it back to where you're able to enjoy your oneness, the fruit of oneness. And so consider all of this, understand and know that there's not one set way. But if you do nothing, then you will have some challenges. Work on your marriage every day. Understand what God has for you is for you. And I pray that this and the words that Jesse has spoken will bless you immensely. I pray that as you think and enjoy the fruit of oneness, you'll think about some of the nuggets, some of the tips that we give you, and that you will understand and know that it is very important that whatever you do, one of the things you must always remember that you want to do things decently and in order, and you always want to be there to be loving and kind to your spouse. I had a few scriptures that I was going to go over, but for lack of time, I know we have to continue to move forward to exit off by about 8:58 or so, so our dear sister minister Leah can come on. So Jesse, I'm going to turn it back over to you. You might have a closing word or two. I just thank God once again for our listening audience. And God bless you all.
Well, amen. Praise God. It's always beautiful to hear the prophetic utterance of what God makes available to the queen. We praise God and we thank God for that. And we want to also encourage you our listening audience, if you have a quick word you want to share, you're always as free as Tammy shares an introduction. You hit one, you're always as free to do so, and we will take open up your mic as the mic would have to be open. But we want to remind you also, as she mentioned, that at 9 o'clock, if you will dial back in, you will hear the beautiful ministry of Empower Ministry of our sister, Minister Leah Killens. And on Wednesday, you can hear the ministry gifts of our brother, Reverend William J. Vann Jr. out of the nation capital in D.C. After him at 9 o'clock, Elder Jason Felix by way of Detroit, Michigan. And then on Thursday, our minister, George Flint, right here from the ATL area, bringing a powerful word. On Sunday, we have Minister Amos Joseph Collins from the Massillon, Ohio area. So we have men and women coming together. Also, Mother, that's right, Mother comes on at 6 o'clock, I believe it is, on Saturday. Yes. So just go back up to Omega Ministry Group or blogtalkradio.com/Omega-Ministry-Group, and you can see the lineup of those who come sharing the word of God. And again, right after us tonight at 9 o'clock, you can dial back in and hear the beautiful ministry gifts of our minister, Leah Killens. As we close, we want to encourage you. We want to call a shout out to go and make sure in your call to action that you're willing to do all of those things that God has ordained for you, because you've been called to a particular ministry for such a time as this. And many times that ministry may simply be taking care of your spouse, taking care of your life, and doing those things that God has called you to do. Father, we praise you. We thank you for these men and these women who have joined here tonight. Many of them, Father, so beautiful to see. So many that have dialed in tonight. And also we pray for those that will listen to this in the archives, that you bless them richly. And they'll be able to go out and experience life to the fullest, giving you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Till next week, God bless. We love you.
Agape love.